From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, Fox News' Todd Starnes is here with an update on the story we talked about yesterday out of Louisiana. New developments, positive developments from the Bossier City, School Board. Also, a Republican congressional candidate in California was attacked by a knife-wielding man yelling profanities about President Trump over the weekend. Will the left take responsibility for their rhetoric that is leading to violence? House Majority Leader Steve Scalise is calling on Democrats to denounce the violence. Will they? Congressman Scalise is here later. And speaking of violence, conservative columnist Denise McAllister had to go into hiding after she received death threats as she challenged the ideology of the abortion movement. Denise McAllister will be here to tell us about this disturbing story. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you are on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. Let me remind you of the new tool for your activist toolkit. It is the Stand Firm app. You can go to TonyPerkins.com, or you could just go to the App Store and download the Stand Firm app. And let me remind you, coming up just a little over 1 week away is the Values Voter Summit. We're going to have a great time as conservatives across the country gather here in Washington, D.C. for the 13th annual Values Voter Summit. The Vice President will be there, Vice President Mike Pence, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. We'll have Dr. Ben Carson. The Majority Leader in the Senate, Mitch McConnell will be there. The Freedom Caucus Chairman, Mark Meadows from North Carolina, will be there. A lot of folks will be there, including my next guest, my first guest, I should say, in today's program, Todd Starnes. Todd, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Thanks for having me on the show. I've already got my bags back. Looking forward to Values Voter Summit.
Well, you are a hit with the Values Voters every year. Looking forward to having you back with us again this year. And I know your focus is really in line with what is going to, I think, be a prominent theme in this year's Values Voter Summit, is religious liberty and the need to defend it both here and abroad. And we're seeing this across the country. And you've been tracking this for years. You've written about it weekly. But some positive developments as individuals, including high school students, like we saw in Bossier, standing up for their First Amendment freedoms.
Yeah, that's right. This was in North Louisiana in Bossier Parish, Benton High School, and a local gymnasium, which is owned by a Christian man called Christ Fit Gym. He spent $3,500 to purchase the end zones during football season, and so they spray painted the gymnasium's logo on both end zones. The logo included the words "Christ Fit Gym" along with a Bible verse and a cross. And as the story goes, school leaders said they received a complaint, and they actually told two high school students they had to go and spray paint over the name of Christ. And what I think is so amazing about this story is these two young men both stood up to their school leaders and said, "We're not going to do that." And one of the young men wrote about the incident on social media, and he said that, you know, sometimes you have to take a stand, even if it means getting in trouble at school. And the good news here, though, is, Tony, after we came out with a story about it, wrote a column about it, we now know that the school board voted unanimously to allow the logo to be repainted in the end zone. So it's a religious liberty victory there in Bossier Parish, Louisiana.
Yeah, we were discussing that yesterday on the program, and I know there's some extenuating circumstances here. This school has been the subject of other suits. In fact, I've been there. I mean, that's my home state. I've been to Bossier City. I've spoken to the principal at the high school there. I know the sheriff there. I know a lot of the folks in that area. Mike Johnson, congressman, represents that area, frequent guest on the program. But you're right. I think the encouraging thing, and this is what we're seeing increasingly across the country, and I think in part it's because, you know, your radio program, our radio program, your writings, gives people a platform to stand up and know they're not alone, because when we tell their stories, they get support from across the country.
Yeah, Tony, last night I had the honor of speaking to about 600 people in Rapid City, South Dakota. They were all members of the Family Heritage Alliance, and that was their theme. I just sat there. I was so encouraged to hear speaker after speaker saying, Christians, we have to stand up. We have to mobilize. And one of the big things that we pushed was the idea of launching those great culture impact teams that Family Research Council has been behind. And again, taking the fight not just to Washington, D.C., but also fighting at home. And that's what happened in Bossier Parish. It was a great reminder that when people of faith stand together, they can facilitate change. Good can happen here.
Yeah, and what is so encouraging to me, Todd, is that we're seeing young people, we're seeing high school students, and of course that's I wrote about those high school students extensively in No Fear, because we're told repeatedly that young people don't care about these issues, or they've checked out, they're all marching in lockstep with the left, and it's simply not true. We've got some young people coming up in this country, the next generation of leaders who are more committed to these founding principles and to their faith than quite frankly our generation ever thought about being.
Yeah, and I think that is a result of watching these young people, watching their brothers and sisters really suffer under the Obama administration's regime, where liberties, not just religious liberty, but liberties in general, were curtailed. And now we're watching the rise of socialism in America. This is a very dangerous thing. It is certainly dangerous when it comes to issues like religious liberty. And so I'm not terribly surprised that we're seeing this generation coming up after the millennials, who are more conservative and more focused on issues like the issues you and I talk about.
You know, Todd, what's interesting about that, historically speaking, that what one generation sometimes pushes away or neglects, the next generation will rebuild. Now, not all the times, but you'll see it often. You saw it really in the family movement, where, you know, you see this generation moving up that's a little stronger toward the family. You know, when you had the kind of the latchkey kids and, you know, family wasn't as important. You know, those kids grew up without that connectedness, and they wanted to restore that, many of them putting off working after they're having kids. And so it is interesting to see how there is this correction that takes place in the culture.
And people are ready to stand up. And I think this is why, you know, the midterm elections are so important. People have got to get mobilized. They've got to get into the fight here. This is not the time to be complacent. And Christians have a challenge there. We have seen this time and time again. They win a battle, and then they retire to the lazy boy. Well, we can't do that.
Right.
When that happens, bad things happen in the country.
That's right. No lazy boy for Christians. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Todd Starnes, my guest, has his own radio program, Fox News, great American. Todd, South Dakota, up great folks up there. In fact, they're listeners. They get Washington Watch up in that area. You were just a little too early, though, because you weren't able to go pheasant hunting up there.
Well, here's how bad it was. I'm the guy who goes to South Dakota and does not have time to see the Mount Rushmore. I'm that guy, Tony. But I will say this. When I showed up at the airport, the guy who picked me up, that he had a glass of sweet tea, and it was legit.
It was the real stuff.
South Dakota, my friend.
You know, South Dakota is a great state. It is a very conservative state. It is I've enjoyed all of my time up in South Dakota. It's just a great, great place. Great people up there in South Dakota. All right, Todd, let's talk a little bit before we run out of time. You're gonna be speaking at Values Voter Summit coming up. And of course, you're going to be there the same day. The vice president's going to be there. Mark Meadows is going to be there. As I mentioned, we've got the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, Dr. Ben Carson, Governor Matt Bevin of Kentucky. We actually have actor Dean Cain, who played Superman, going to be there with the movie Gosnell. And so we got a great, great lineup of speaker. Joel Rosenberg is going to be there. And speaking of religious liberty, which I know you are going to be touching on, is we have the Masterpiece Cake Shop owner, Jack Phillips, is going to be a part of Values Voter Summit to really bring home the threat that remains in this country toward religious freedom.
Well, there is. And you know, over the weekend, I was hosting my annual retreat at the Billy Graham Training Center. And we brought in Coach Joe Kennedy and Sam Blackledge, the high school valedictorian who came under attack because of his religious beliefs. And, you know, just like Jack Phillips, what's so important about Values Voter Summit, you get to see that these are just regular folks. You know, the mainstream media,
right,
they portray all of these folks as if they're, you know, these hateful human beings. But these are good and decent people who are coming under attack because of their religious beliefs. They did not go out looking for a fight.
Right.
The fight came to them. And the message that we heard in South Dakota, and I suspect the message we're going to hear at Values Voter Summit, is when the fight comes to you, you've got to stand up and you have to fight back. It is imperative. We have to fight back.
I think that's extremely important because we don't profile those who are looking for a fight. These people that we're talking about are just regular moms and dads, brothers and sisters, just men and women who are out there living out their faith in the way that our forefathers intended for us to, and they come under attack. But unlike some who, you know, they just want to retreat into the shadows of society, they say, no, that's not who I am. It's not what I'm called to be. And they stand up. And 9 times out of 10, when they do stand up, they prevail. Now, I'm not going to say it's easy. There is a challenge there. There's oftentimes a price to pay. But when you say, you know, we have to fight back, it's not just for ourselves. This is for subsequent generations. This is for our children, our grandchildren. This is really for the future of America.
You know, and there's a biblical precedent for that. If I'm sure many of our listeners remember the story of Paul and Silas. We all know what happened inside the jail. But I'm more interested in what happened outside the jail after they were released and the authorities told them just to scoot on away. And the Apostle Paul, he bowed up, as we say back in Tennessee, and he said, now wait just a second. You have smeared our names, you threw us in jail, and no, now you're going to apologize, and you're going to do it publicly. So there's a precedent there that, you know what, Christians, we have an obligation to stand up and make sure that things are done right.
And Values Voter Summit is a great place to get equipped to do just that. Todd Starnes, look forward to seeing you next weekend here at the Values Voter Summit in Washington, D.C.
It's going to be great. Thanks, Tony.
All right, Todd Starnes with Fox News. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Follow the links over. Todd puts out great stuff. And while you're at the website, you can register for the Values Voter Summit. There's still room. It's filling up quickly. But it's going to be a great weekend, and you can be there. It's not too late. Go to TonyPerkins.com, follow the links over, and be a part of the largest gathering of social conservatives in the country. All right, when we come back, the rhetoric of the left inciting violence. Will the Democrats denounce this violent rhetoric? Well, Steve Scalise, Majority Whip, is calling on the Democrats to do just that. He joins us next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Are we moving in the right direction? If you're like me, you care a lot about where our country is headed. With so much at stake in America, do our leaders have a way forward? To find out, mark your calendar for the Values Voter Summit, September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C., and join hundreds of Americans that want to preserve and protect religious freedom, family values, and the sanctity of human life. Invited and confirmed speakers include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Sam Brownback, Ben Carson, Kellyanne Conway, Mike Pompeo, Laura Ingraham, Oliver North, Dana Lash, Sean Hannity, Joel Rosenberg, Todd Starnes, and Mark Levin. Meet values voters like yourself that share a Christian worldview on issues. Through the main events, networking in the exhibit hall, breakouts, movie premieres, and meet and greets with our speakers. On September 21st to 23rd, be a part of the movement to pray, vote, and stand for the sake of America. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org or call 1-877-372-2808.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting FRC.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
That was Congresswoman Maxine Waters, Democrat of California, back in June, calling on her supporters at a rally to confront Trump cabinet officials in public spaces like restaurants and department stores, gas stations. Anywhere you see them, you yell at them, you make a scene, and let them know they're not welcomed. Well, in California, a GOP congressman running for office, running for Congress, was attacked over the weekend by a liberal wielding a knife, yelling profanities about Donald Trump. The rhetoric is getting hot. It's leading to violence. And I will say most of the violence is on the left, and it's toward conservatives. And it's coming from, actually, I mean, in this case, it's a congresswoman. Well, Congressman Steve Scalise, who, as you recall, was just a little over a year ago, was critically wounded by gunfire when a man who authority says was fueled by rage against Republican legislators. I think he had been a volunteer with Bernie Sanders' campaign, had been following the Southern Poverty Law Center and their social media platforms. He opened fire So Congressman Scalise is calling on his Democratic colleagues to denounce this type of insightful language. Are they going to respond? Will they do it? Well, Congressman Scalise is supposed to join us here. We're waiting to connect with him. I want to see what kind of response he's getting. You know, the president brought this up a couple of weeks ago in his meeting with the evangelical leaders. He said, look, there's violence on the left. Look at Antifa. They're violent. And you know, he was saying it in the context of, look, all of the gains that have been made on the policy issues that you and I care about, the life issues, religious liberty, all of that, the judges, all of that's going to be overturned. I mean, they're radical. And we're seeing it evident, we're seeing the evidence of it and the intensity in the violence. And I've said this before, and it's worth saying again. Our republic will not survive if there is violence in the public square. You see, people have to be free to express their ideas and to engage in our republic. As a republic, it works because you and I participate in it. And that's everybody. That's not just you and I who, you know, most of us listening and on this program agree, not everybody, but most of us. But it's not just for us. It's for everybody. Everybody in this country has the ability to voice their concerns, their ideas, and to engage in the process. That's what makes America work. That's why we've survived for so long. And the rules, the Constitution, that basically sets up the rules by which everything operates. And that's why the First Amendment is so important, so that we have the freedom to assemble, to get together, the freedom to talk, the freedom to live out our religion. And all of that takes place in the public square. And when you begin to marginalize people, which we've seen during the Barack Obama years, when anybody who believed like almost every other human being up until about 10 years ago that marriage was a union of man and woman, when everyone that didn't go with the newfangled view of marriage was called a homophobe or a bigot, well, when you begin to label and you begin to silence people and you begin to threaten them with violence, I'm telling you, the republic will not long last. Because then people, they get intimidated, they don't participate, or they become defensive, and then we end up in what we see in places like Nigeria, where you've got these clans and you've got these tribes, you got people that in religious divisions, we would have more ideological divisions, where people take up arms. It won't work. And so we have to protect and preserve the ability to freely speak. And I'm not saying just our freedom. As a veteran of the Marine Corps, as a police officer, as a legislator, I have defended every person's freedom to speak with civility and within the boundaries of common decency. I've defended their right. And we must. But that also means we must defend our right. We have to be willing to defend that freedom. The future of our republic depends upon it. And violence has no place in our public discourse. And I would add that you and I, we should be civil, and we should push for civility in that public dialogue. We can disagree over issues, and we can argue with passion, but we shouldn't be attacking other people. And the point that we've gotten to, and I would say I think it's being fueled by the media, because the media has become the opposition party to the president, and the left, like Maxine Waters and others, they're unhinged. And it won't work. It won't work. All right, I just got word that Steve was with his doctor. Not sure. I talked to him earlier today. We'll see what's happening there. All right, further evidence of this, commentators. Denise McAllister challenged the ideology of the abortion industry, and days later, she had to go in hiding because of the death threats. She joins us with the details after the break. Don't go away. More Washington Watch to come right after this.
feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website is tonyperkins.com, and there's information there about the upcoming Values Voter Summit next weekend here in Washington, D.C. You don't want to miss it. Go to tonyperkins.com and sign up now. All right, last week, contributor for PJ Media and The Daily Wire, Denise McAllister, sent out a tweet challenging the flawed ideology of the abortion movement. I thought it was a very revealing tweet. I thought it was good. Well, little did she know, days later, she would be hiding, scared for her life when she went public about receiving death threats, rape threats. Pro-abortion Twitter users championed the threats against her. With us now is Denise McAllister, contributor at PJ Media and The Daily Wire. Denise, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, Denise, let me just read your tweet that you put out. It said, at the root of the abortion hysteria is women's unhinged desire for irresponsible sex. Sex is their God. Abortion is their sacrament. It's abhorrent as women have flung themselves from the heights of being the world's civilizing force to the muck and mire of dehumanizing depravity. I thought that was challenging. I thought it was exposing of what is behind the abortion movement. But what happened as a result of that tweet?
People went crazy, and I got a deluge of a lot of angry. It started with Twitter, of course, and the responses there. A lot of angry responses saying I was attacking women and against sex and that I was evil and that I should be aborted. It just escalated from there, and they weren't really getting what my message was about, or they probably were, and were reacting to it from a gut level because, like you said, I was getting to the root of what's behind the abortion issue, and our behavior generates the cause and effect, and what is the cause here? And so I wanted to dig down and expose that and talk about that. And then a couple of days later, I got phone calls, I've gotten emails, I've gotten voice messages that are threatened my life. They said they know where I live and threatened rape. And so I immediately went to the police, which I would advise everyone, whoever is facing this, you know, to don't handle it yourself. And, we're just looking into that, and I've got protection now, and I can't go out of the house without having someone armed with me.
You know, it's interesting. We had Dana Lash on, I guess, last week or week before last, a very similar situation where she received threats on Twitter. And what I find interesting about this is, again, I think your tweet was, I mean, it was good, okay? I mean, it really exposed, I think, the ideology behind the abortion movement. But here's the point. You didn't attack anyone. Okay, this is not pointed at any person. You didn't attack the character of a person. You talked about the movement and what's behind it. But the tweets in response that I've read were attacking you and threatening you. It was much different. It wasn't the ideology that drives you to see women as more than just sexual beings. They attacked you personally. There's a big difference there.
There is. I was making a cultural commentary. I was observing cultural trends, behavior of women culturally, and making a statement about it, that, you know, if you are going to choose freely to have sex, then you need to take in consideration and be responsible, not just with birth control, but be responsible for what the act entails, what the act can result in, which is abortion. If you're not prepared for a pregnancy, which is what sex happens and is the purpose, if you're not prepared for that, then you shouldn't risk it. You shouldn't be so into what just, I'm going to have sex no matter if at the end I have to kill another human being to have it. And that was my point, is this mindset that we're so sexualized now for a lot of different reasons that we simply are willing to shed blood in order to have what we want. And to me, that is an idol type worship. And abortion is sacramental in that, shedding blood so that you can have your idol. And I want women to think about that and then consider their actions and their choices. And they can't just act just like men. But yet, that's what I was getting if you read in the Twitter feed, that we as women have the right to act just like men and behave just like men. But the fact is, we're not just like men. We get pregnant, and we need to be responsible for that. And we used to be a civilizing force in this world because we are the life bearers. By God,
yeah,
and
right.
we should be responsible for that. And like I said, beyond just, you know, yes, have safe sex, have birth control, but it doesn't always work, and don't always use it. So think about what your act is doing, and just be circumspect and responsible. So I was basically just calling for personal responsibility in the face of freedom. I wasn't trying to take anyone's freedom away or anything like that. But just be responsible for your free choices.
Well, think through this. And I thought what was interesting is that many of those who responded with personal attacks on you were certified Twitter handles, people that had lots of followers. Did Twitter take any action against any of those folks?
No, because a lot of them weren't life-threatening per se on the Twitter feed. They were more like, I'm a misogynist, I hate women. A lot of other nasty stuff that I don't want
to
see.
Well, that sounds like hate speech to me.
Well, it does. I mean, well, I think that they might. They should have, because Twitter says you're not to be attacking other people with
hate
speech.
Depends. If a conservative attacks, that's one thing. But if a liberal attacks a conservative, it's okay. Yeah, I get
exactly.
That.
So I guess because there wasn't any threat to my life on Twitter, they were going to allow it, but. You're
well,
right.
Denise, we're out of time. I want to thank you for joining us, and thank you for standing firm for truth. We appreciate that.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, Denise McAllister. To find out more, go to TonyPerkins.com. When we come back, we take your phone calls. Don't go away. We're back after this.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
Are we moving in the right direction? If you're like me, you care a lot about where our country is headed. With so much at stake in America, do our leaders have a way forward? To find out, mark your calendar for the Values Voter Summit September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C., and join hundreds of Americans that want to preserve and protect religious freedom, family values, and the sanctity of human life. Invited and confirmed speakers include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Sam Brownback, Ben Carson, Kellyanne Conway, Mike Pompeo, Laura Ingraham, Oliver North, Dana Lash, Sean Hannity, Joel Rosenberg, Todd Starnes, and Mark Levin. Meet values voters like yourself that share a Christian worldview on issues. Through the main events, networking in the exhibit hall, breakouts, movie premieres, and meet and greets with our speakers. On September 21st to 23rd, be a part of the movement to pray, vote, and stand for the sake of America. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org or call 1-877-372-2808.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, civil liberties attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, senior research fellow in the technology policy program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon. The phone number, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. This is what I want to hear from you on this, because I was talking to a reporter today, and I'm getting the conversation. They asked about the president and how the, you know, the my point was this, that the president, as he's attacked by the media and others for everything he does, that it only solidifies the support that conservatives have for him. Not because they agree with him on everything, or that they necessarily agree with his tone on maybe his tweets, or agree with things that he did in the past, but it's because they identify with the attacks of the elite, you know, the evangelicals, conservatives, especially in the last 8 years, or the, you know, under the last administration, were under attack all the time. And then comes along Donald Trump, who stands up to the press and calls them out. And the more he did that, the more support he got. And I'm just wondering this, as we were just talking with Denise, who was attacked for speaking out, do you feel emboldened to speak out? Are you willing to speak out for the things that you believe in? And I'm not saying, like the left, attack people. I'm saying speak freely what you believe in spite of those attacks. Do you feel emboldened in this environment that you can stand up and you can speak, and will you speak? I think it's critical. And I want to know, do you feel more emboldened today to stand up because others are doing it? 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Let's go to Indiana, where Florence is on the line. Florence, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks for taking my call, Tony.
Yes, ma'am.
These ones, the senators like Waters, and are causing all the troubles and that start the instant riots, I think they ought to be fined. The same as any other American person.
Well, there is limits. There are limits, I should say, to speech. I mean, you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. because it can create harm and injury to others. And I think you're right. That was interesting. There was a case. I think we've got Congressman Scalise is joining us now. So, Florence, I want to thank you for the call. Your point is well taken. In fact, I'm going to ask Congressman Scalise about that because he's calling on members of the Democratic Party to denounce this violent rhetoric that is this rhetoric that is inciting violence. Steve, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, it's always great to be back with you.
Well, we were discussing earlier about the knife-wielding attacker in California that went after the GOP candidate. Of course, it was refreshing my listeners' memory about the shooting that took place a little over a year ago, that you were one of the targets at the Republican lawmakers' baseball practice. So this is obviously this, and we've had the shooting here at the Family Research Council. So we completely understand
right.
that these words,
true.
These words lead to actions, and it's important we get ahead of it. And you're calling on those on the left, like Maxine Waters and others who are inciting violence, to denounce this type of speech.
Absolutely, Tony. I mean, there's no place for it. And, you know, what I've said is, look, if somebody did this on the right, all of us should be calling and denouncing it, Republican and Democrat. It shouldn't be a partisan thing. And we're denouncing what we're seeing. And unfortunately, we see it on the left over and over now. And you don't hear any leaders on the left denouncing it. And like you said, some are encouraging it. And it's got to stop. And they've got to be called on to denounce it just like we are.
Have any of your colleagues on the other side of the aisle responded to your challenge to them for them to do this?
I really haven't seen them calling this out publicly. And each time it happens, you know, the mainstream media, if there was any kind of attack in the past, I mean, when the Tea Party was starting, they would hope that it was somebody from the Tea Party. It's already start asking members on the Republican side, do you denounce it if it's a Tea Party person? And then it would turn out it wouldn't even be a Tea Party person. In some cases, it was a Democrat. But the media was already hoping to get us on the record, and you don't see that from the media on these incidents. And it shows that double standard that I think people are furious with.
Yeah, and I was talking about that earlier, that, and I know you would agree with this because you and I have talked about it. There's no room for violence in our republic, not in the public square.
Nope.
You cannot have a republic.
There's not.
And it just won't work.
And our founders wanted a heated debate. They wanted an environment where you could question your own government. And in many countries, you still to this day can't do that. In America, it's encouraged by the First Amendment protection, but violence is never an acceptable way to resolve political disputes. You resolve them at the ballot box. Look, we're having an election in just a few weeks, a major election, and that's how we resolve these differences. But if you lose the election, you don't resort to violence.
And it's a reminder of why we all need to participate in the process, because that is how we, in part, that's how we voice our concerns and the direction we want to see our country go. And it just, the left could not handle what the American people said in the last election, and they're still fighting it 2 years later.
Well, Tony, the thing that the left, they don't understand why President Trump won. I mean, Donald Trump ran on a Reagan-esque platform, a very conservative agenda. There was the opening on the Supreme Court with Scalia's tragic death, and he said, these are the people I would appoint to the court. You know, they tried to criticize him on that. Everything was out there. The public knew what the choices were, and they overwhelmingly chose Donald Trump and, in fact, shocked people in states like Michigan and Wisconsin, quickly winning Ohio and Florida, winning Pennsylvania, and then winning places that we hadn't won in a long time because he actually ran and stood for true conservative principles, and he's following through on them. And so
right.
If you're angry about the fact that the president's doing what he promised to do, we should be celebrating that. And clearly there are people that didn't agree with him, but they had their opportunity. They're going to have another chance in 2020. And you're seeing this ridiculous tryout, in essence, for Democratic nominee for president. You saw it starting in the hearings on Kavanaugh with Cory Booker and Kamala Harris competing against each other for who could be the most bizarre on some of the comments they were making, as opposed to trying to question Justice Kavanaugh's record, which is a great record, and he handled himself, by the way, incredibly well with the ridiculous protests. And ultimately, in the next few weeks, he's going to be on the Supreme Court and doing this country a great service.
You know, I think we just came up with a new title for the next reality TV show covering the United States Senate, Who Can Be the Most Bizarre? And I think we could have quite a few people try out. But anyway, I won't go down that path. I would add one element to what you described with the Trump platform being conservative, because you're absolutely right. It was a conservative Reagan-esque platform. But I think what drove people to support Trump, in addition to that, because, you know, he was untested. Nobody really knew. And I can speak personally on this. But I think what really drove conservatives to Donald Trump and helped him secure the election victory was Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, because people knew what they would do. And they scared people into the arms of Donald Trump. And unlike what I've seen in the past, he has, as you said, systematically fulfilled his promises that he made on the campaign trail.
Yeah, standing up for life, appointing justices that will actually go and interpret and stand up for the Constitution, reducing the size of government, reducing regulations, cutting taxes, fighting for the forgotten men and women of this country, the Reagan Democrats that we had lost, Tony. And for a few decades now, you've seen it dropping away, and that's why we were losing states like Michigan and Ohio and Pennsylvania. And he won them back by saying, I'm going to fight for you. And he didn't shy away from his wealth. He said, look, I've made a lot of money, but I'm going to fight for the people that haven't had their shot at the American dream and deserve it. And he's delivering. And you're seeing more opportunity. I mean, look, there's more people that there are more jobs available than there are people looking for jobs. Anybody that wants to become a part of what's great about the American dream can go get it now. And they are getting it in millions. And we ought to be celebrating that and doing more of that. So that's what's at stake in November.
Before I let you go, Stephen, I appreciate you joining us. I know you're busy. What can we expect to see moving forward in these final days of Congress before we turn to the election? What can we expect here in Capitol Hill?
Well, we are starting tomorrow. There's going to be a bill moving through on tax cuts 2.0, so the next round of tax cuts, and really making the tax cuts permanent for families. Because of Senate rules, some of the tax cuts were permanent, some were temporary. We want to say, look, these are working well. It's helping rebuild our middle class. For those hardworking families that are enjoying more money in their paycheck, let's make certainty by making it permanent. And then we've got to fund the basic priorities of the government, rebuilding our military. That's all going to happen in the next few weeks. And there's a lot of contrast that we're going to then have when we go home in November. We want to continue this economic growth, rebuilding our military and our economy, standing up for life. Nancy Pelosi wants to repeal your tax cuts. She wants to impeach Barack Obama. She wants to literally move to socialism. And this idea of abolishing ICE, Tony, getting rid of the border agents. You're a former law enforcement officer. You know how important it is to keep our community safe, and ICE agents are doing that.
Right.
They want to get rid of ICE. So the country needs to see not only what we stand for, but what they would do if they got the majority. And, you know, go listen to Maxine Waters and listen to Nancy Pelosi. They're telling you what they would do. And I think it's good that we listen to them, because it's pretty scary when you think about what that would look like if they won the majority in November.
Well, Steve, I want to thank you for challenging the rhetoric on the other side. I do think we need to be reminding folks they need to dial it down. We need to be civil. We can passionately disagree, but we need to do so in a civil way that does not incite violence. So we'll be tracking this. I'll be interested to see if any of them take you up on the challenge.
Thanks, Tony. I appreciate it.
All right. Talk to you soon, Steve. Steve Scalise, Majority Whip from Louisiana, 1st Congressional District. Great friend. He and I were elected the same time back in 1996. So, all right, we still got a little bit of time. We can go back to the phones. Sorry, I wanted to take Steve's call. As I said, he had gotten tied up at the doctor's office with the doctor, but the physician. But I want to go back to what we were talking about, and that was whether or not you feel emboldened to speak civilly, to speak with civility, I should say, but to stand up and defend your beliefs. I believe it's essential that we do that. All right, let's go to Texas, where Michael is on the line. Michael, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes, sir. Yes, as we were speaking earlier, the question I had is how we can have a government that's set up by the United States Constitution and everybody goes through the motions of holding their hand, raising over a Bible, sort of to uphold the oath of the United States Constitution. But when they get in office, they aren't doing what they're sworn in to do. If that sworn in oath is supposed to really mean something, why is it hasn't been upheld that when they fail to uphold those duties, the statements spoken thereof, why are they still able to hold an office?
Yeah, really, really good question, Michael. And this is where the rule of law is so important, is that we have the Constitution. We have rules, we have laws that, emanate from that Constitution or within the parameters of that Constitution. And it's kind of like the display that we saw from Cory Booker where he, released those documents that shouldn't have been released. We saw it under the previous administration on a regular basis. The Attorney General held in contempt of Congress because he refused to provide documents regarding the Fast and Furious. Many of these things, the way that they are pursued legally, they go through the courts, they get hung up forever, and the results and the outcome are years removed, and people just forget about it. It's not an easy. There's no easy answer, Michael, other than this. Is that people need to play by the rules, and there's an expectation that people will follow the law and the rules. So, Michael, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening. Let's go quickly to Walter in Oklahoma. Walter, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. Yes, I do feel intimidated, and it's at my church sometime. I would not go on Twitter, but I still have to speak up. But regarding the young woman who made the comment, I think she was spot on. Besides that, Planned Parenthood ran an ad saying that that was the purpose with Samuel Jackson, and it was very, the language that used freedom to do the F word. So they announced their motives themselves. So she was just expressing what Planned Parenthood had announced. So I'll hang up and let you speak.
All right. Walter, thank you so much for the call. I would comment, but I'm out of time. You hear that music. You know what that means? It means you got to tune in tomorrow. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand. And this is critical, folks. When you've taken your stand, just keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.